Good morning, everybody. Let's stand together. Oh, to thee be the glory. To thee be the honor. Our blessing and praise to the land. To thee be all power, strength, wisdom, and riches. Purchased us, to the one who shed his blood to take our sins away.
Perfect. This I had heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God." I just encourage you as they sing God's word, just let it overtake you. You're going to be blessed.
Hallelujah! Salvation and glory. Honor and power to the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty. Yes, the Lord our God is omnipotent. The Lord our God, He is wonderful. We sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Salvation. Just want to say welcome. If you are new or visiting, we want to extend a very special welcome. We're so glad that you have chosen to be with us this weekend. We have a connection card in your seat backs. You can fill that out as a way to let us know that you're new, and then drop that in the offering bags when they come around in just a moment. We also have a new people's table in the lobby with some friendly volunteers, and we would love to give you a free welcome gift. So be sure to stop by our table in the lobby after service. Also, if you were with us last weekend and you heard the sermon last week, if there was a way that you felt like you wanted to respond, to plug in more and really serve and use your gifts here at Christian Assembly, if there's any way we can help you, please let us know. You can find me or any of our other staff after the service, and we would love to chat with you about that. And then also, as always, we want to say a very special welcome to those who are joining us online. So if that's you, and if you're with us online, welcome, and we're so glad that you're with us. Well, you guys, I have quite a few announcements for us today and lots of ways to get connected. So here we go. First, we have our Compelled Conference coming up, and it is a way to help you feel equipped to live missionally in your everyday life. There's going to be a main session. There's going to be breakout sessions led by missional leaders. So if you want more info or if you want to register, you can do that online or or in the lobby after service. If you have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, but you have not yet been baptized as a Christ follower, we want to encourage you to take that next step and get baptized. Our next baptism class is coming up here on October 16th, and then baptism weekend will happen on the weekend of November 12th and 13th. We also have a pre-married and pre-engaged class kicking off. It's a 5-week course for couples that are dating and considering marriage or who are engaged and planning to get married. So if that's you, the class begins on Sunday, October 9th, and you can get more info and register for that on our website. We also want to let you know, and you may have seen this when you came in the courtyard tonight, but we want to let you know that after the service today, we're going to have some artwork for you to check out and look at outside in the courtyard. And it's an art exhibit that's put together by artists in our Christian Assembly church community and family. So that'll be out in the courtyard after service. Stop by on your way out, and then we will also have some art displayed next weekend as well. And then finally, we want to remind you that our partnership class kicks off tomorrow, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and it's not too late to plan to join us. Whether you are brand new to Christian Assembly, or maybe you've been around for years or even decades, partnership is a great next step to help you figure out what we believe as a church, our values, our history of Christian Assembly, as well as just a chance to meet some of our staff and learn different ways to get connected and involved. So you can register for that on our website, or you don't need to register, and you can just show up tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock across the street in the North Sanctuary. So we would love to see you there. Well, now is the time in our service where we get to continue in our worship through the giving of tithes and offerings. And as we do that, let me read what God's word says in Matthew 6:33. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And we, Christian Assembly, we want to be a people who seek God first with our finances and with our giving and with everything that God has given to us. So in just a moment, we will pass the offering bags. As always, you can give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or on our website. If you're new or visiting, please feel no obligation to give. And to the rest of you and to our Christian Assembly church family, thank you so much for your ongoing giving and generosity. Would you join me as we pray together? God, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your generosity. Thanks for every good gift, every good relationship. Thanks for every dollar and every amount of financial provision that you have given to us, Lord. Thanks for everything you have blessed us with. Make us generous people. Help us to generously give back of all that you have given us, Lord, to your purposes and to your work in this world. So we love you. Continue to speak to us throughout our service, Lord. We pray in your great name, Jesus. Amen. The ushers may come forward.
One of the prayer practices and tools that I use is memorizing scripture and then praying that scripture over myself throughout the day. One of my favorite passages is Psalm 16, and it starts with, "Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you." So I'll pray, "God, would you protect me today? Would I run to you for refuge?" And I'll go through the whole chapter verse by verse, reciting and then praying that over myself.
We all know that prayer is a conversation with God, but what really transformed my prayer life was realizing that a conversation is a two-way process. God wants to talk to you. And a practice that I do daily that has really transformed my prayer life is visualizing that God, Jesus Christ, is sitting with you wherever you're at and wants to talk to you. And then two, realizing that the voice of the Holy Spirit is like a stream of consciousness that will never contradict Scripture. And then three, journal. Write down everything that the Holy Spirit says. And these three steps have really helped transform my prayer life and brought me closer to God, and I hope it will do the same for you.
Well, hello, everybody. You doing all right? Good. Glad to have this time with you. Like Aiden said a while ago, I love to be in this place with you. If you're visiting, we're so honored to have you. My name is Matt. And like the video suggested, we're going to talk about prayer. In fact, we're kicking off this weekend a new series. The next few weeks, we're going to be talking about prayer. But really, and I want you to understand this, that really, we're going to be looking for life. Life that happens when we pray. That's what we're after. Now, many of you will remember when it was common for certain products, certain devices, or things that would be sold with a label on it that said, "Batteries not included." You remember that? I can think of some Christmas mornings where some gifts got unwrapped. You had this happen in your house too. And you got something for your kid or for yourself, and it was all there except the batteries. And because there were no batteries, it just sat there until you had the right batteries. So you have everything you need in those devices except the batteries. And without the batteries, you can't experience what you have. Well, this is a little radio that I brought with me to give you just another idea of what I'm talking about here. This is I couldn't believe actually that I found this online, was able to buy this thing. It has no place to plug in. It has no Wi-Fi, no Bluetooth. Reminds me of when I was talking to one of my kids one time, and I said, well, that's before, you know, we had the internet. And they said, what do you mean before we had the internet? How can you not have the internet? Yeah, well, this is before we had the internet. This is just a simple radio. It's got a volume control. It's got a tuner on that side. It's got this antenna on it. And of course, we all know this place, this room that we're sitting in, this space is full of electromagnetic activity. There are radio waves running through this place all over. We can't see them. We can't touch them. Can't smell them. We can't taste them. We can't hear them unless we have a radio. And if we turn this on, we can hear it. Except, guess what? This thing was sold, batteries not included. So I had to get some batteries for this radio. I got some Amazon basic batteries. Huh? Anybody got some of these in your house? Yeah, I don't know what we'd do without Amazon these days. And if I plug this thing or put these batteries in here, then let's see what happens. We've got some activity. What do we have here?
And set up shop in Los Angeles.
Okay, we got some NPR in the house. We got...
The pain in my rib went away.
The pain in his rib went away. Somebody's telling us something about... So we've got all these radio frequencies, right, that we've just been able to access. But we had to put the batteries in. Now, this radio does not produce the radio waves, but with batteries, this radio receives what's already available in the room. God already and forever is. He's with us. He is the God who is with us. Jesus said the kingdom of God is available. It's come near. It's at hand. You can reach out and receive it. New life with God is available. Forgiveness is available. Redemption is available. But like batteries, it's in prayer. It's in prayer that all that God offers you and me becomes operational in our lives. That's how we live in all that God has provided us. Now, my prayers do not make God operate. I want to be clear on that. God is neither dependent upon my prayers, nor is God obligated by my prayers. God is God. All authority is His. God does not lose power if I do not pray. But if I do not pray, I lose out on what God offers me. You with me? So we're going to spend the next few weeks together learning what Jesus teaches us about prayer to discover what that means for life. This series is not about how to pray better prayers. It's about life. It's about life that we cannot live apart from God. Life that only God can and will produce in us as we seek Him in prayer. So in this first week of the series, I want us to learn how Jesus teaches us to pray so that we can live more and more like Jesus said we can live. So here's the first thing we can learn from what Jesus teaches us about prayer. It's this, that how we pray affects how we live. How you pray affects how you live. If I spent a couple of days with you, if you allowed me to just hang around and observe your life, I'm certain I would find something that I could learn from you. I would begin to notice certain things that you do. I would begin to notice that there are some skills that you have, some talents you have, some knowledge that you've gained through training or through experience or through education. I would begin to notice that there are certain things about you that I could learn. If I just watch how you live, I'll notice something you can teach me. Now, the one thing that people asked Jesus to teach them was how to pray like he prayed. That's the only thing they actually asked him. They didn't say, Jesus, teach us how to preach, or Jesus, teach us how to do church, or Jesus, teach us how to this or that. But they said to him, in fact, it's in chapter 11, verse 1 of Luke's gospel, and you can see these verses in the bulletin or on the screen. The disciples said to him, well, look what Luke says. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples, that's somebody who has hung around and watched how Jesus lived, and now one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Now, some of Jesus' disciples had been among the followers of John the Baptist. And so they're saying, look, John taught us to pray. He taught us to pray like he prayed. But we notice something about how you live that makes us want to know how you pray, Jesus. Why did they want to know how Jesus prayed? Were they just super religious? Were these disciples just like born to be on a stained glass window somewhere? They just loved to learn new ways to pray. No. In fact, when you read the Gospels, you see Jesus didn't try to surround himself with very religious type people. Now, instead, Jesus surrounded himself with some very ordinary people. Ordinary people who we actually find in Scripture were not that excited about prayer when they met Jesus. In fact, the one time Jesus asks them, hey, pray with me, they just keep falling asleep. That's who these guys are. No, they wanted more than a new way to pray. They wanted a new way to live. And it was obvious to them that how Jesus prayed affected how he lived. Those who spent time with Jesus noticed when Jesus spoke, his words had a way of cutting through political and religious jargon with truth that cut deep to the heart. They noticed people's lives were always getting changed when they were with Jesus. They noticed Jesus forgave sins. He healed the sick. He restored outcasts to family and friends. There were times the disciples noticed that it was almost like the power of God just seemed to flow out of him. Even just being near Jesus was an opportunity to witness the power of God at work in him and through him. Those closest to Jesus also saw him spend a lot of time in prayer. And if Jesus had a chance, they knew he'd get off somewhere by himself to pray. And so his disciples start to wonder, what's going on in those prayers? Because out of moments of prayer, Jesus would accomplish bold and beautiful acts of love and power, and then he would return to prayer again. It was like prayer recharged his batteries, and there's power now for another day and another journey and another encounter and another life changed by the love and the grace and the truth of God. And the disciples finally say, Jesus, we've noticed something about you that we want to learn. Jesus, we want to live like you. So teach us to pray like you. Because how we pray affects how we live. So the second truth that Jesus teaches us about prayer comes from his response to them. He teaches us to pray as if our life depended on it. Pray like your life depends on it. Let's look at his response to them. He says to them, to live a life empowered by God is to live a God-dependent life. That's what he's going to teach them. Look at this. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. In fact, let's read these words together. Let's start with Father. You ready? Let's read it together. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. Familiar words, huh? Those words we call the Lord's Prayer. And the tradition that many of us know amplify those words to add a few more. But this is a template. And it's not a formula. It's not a recipe to follow verbatim. This is a description of how to pray like Jesus so we can live like Jesus. This is a description. It's a model for us to pray like our life depends on it. So I want us to look more closely at this prayer for a moment. It begins with us looking to God as the provider and the giver of life, Father. And by keeping his name holy, his name above every name, his name alone worthy to be honored and glorified by my life, how I live, what I do with the days I'm given. He's the giver of life, and he alone is worthy to live to honor him. And may what he wants happen for you and for me. God, don't let this world have its way with me. Don't let this world have its way with my family, with my church, with my city. No, God, have your way with us. Make of us what you want. And along the way, we can trust him to provide everything we need. That goes for my physical and material needs as well as everything else. I want him involved in all my daily circumstances as if my life depends on it. I want him to be the one I look to as my provider of all I need and all that he wants to give. He knows what you need. And He knows what we need, not just our physical needs. He knows forgiveness is needed. There's a place for confession, Jesus says, in prayer. It's a chance for me to tell God what God already knows. You know, that's what that word confession means. The original meaning of that word was to agree. To confess is to agree with God. Yes, God, what you know about me, I agree. It's true. Yeah, my sin that you know about, yes, I agree. That's my sin. Yeah. And God, that forgiveness that you offer, I agree, God. I need that forgiveness. I receive that forgiveness that you're giving me. I agree with you about that. I tell God what God already knows, and then I ask for what God has already offered me. That's confession. And then Jesus directs his disciples outward. Hey, not just about you, not just navel gazing, not just with your looking inward. No, look outward. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. I like the way I heard a child once prayed this part of the prayer, forgive us our trash passing as we forgive those who pass trash against us. Yes. But how do you do that? How do you live like that? How does this prayer become your way of life? How do you forgive that person who did that to you? Who said those things about you? Robbed you, lied to you, cheated you. How do you do that? Well, I know we don't do it on our own. No. No, I can't even persuade myself to want to forgive on my own. I have to pray. I have to pray this prayer that God, that Jesus taught us to pray. I have to pray, and God will have to help me. I can't persuade myself, but I know that as I pray, God will give me what I need to forgive as God has forgiven me. Jesus teaches us to pray like Him so that we can live like Him. So that as we pray this way that Jesus taught, then the forgiven become forgivers. And then don't let us yield to temptation. The stuff we're tempted to get into, Lord, on my own, I won't get myself out of that. I'll try to not swallow the hook of sin's empty promises, but I know I'm helpless without the help of God. Like that song we sing sometimes, it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. You feel your heart wandering? Prone to leave the God I love. Isn't that amazing that we're capable of that? My heart, my mind, my desires are drawn away from life as I was meant to live. You ever been surprised at what your heart is drawn away to? Ever been surprised to realize what thoughts or attitudes or feelings you've allowed yourself to harbor toward others? The Lord helps me sometimes catch a glimpse of the temptations that I've gotten into. And here's my heart. Here's my heart. Lord, take and seal it, has to be my prayer. Apart from prayer like Jesus taught, apart from acknowledging our dependence on God, how else could we ever be empowered for life that Jesus offers us. Look at what he says in verse 11. Jesus says, "You fathers, if your children ask for fish, you don't give them a snake instead. If they ask for an egg, you don't give them a scorpion." Of course you don't. And so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if you want to live like Jesus lived, you want life empowered by God, then let's keep asking and let's keep seeking and let's keep knocking. Let's keep praying. Lord, make us what we cannot make ourselves. And let's ask for his Spirit like our lives depend on it, because they do. Life with God, it's a life of dependence upon the Spirit of God. And here's the third and final thing that Jesus teaches us when he teaches his disciples how to pray. He teaches us that when we pray, God empowers ordinary people for extraordinary purposes. God empowers ordinary people for extraordinary purposes. Anybody, any ordinary people in here tonight? There's some extraordinary people in here. Anybody ordinary? Anybody know how ordinary you are? Oh, but anybody ever experienced something extraordinary that only God could do? Thank God for that. When Paul's a person who understood this. When Paul met Jesus, it was like a lightning bolt hit that guy. He fell on his back. He was struck blind. And a man named Ananias was praying. And he heard the Lord tell him to go pray for Paul. And when this ordinary man, Ananias, prayed for this other ordinary man, who both were experiencing something extraordinary by the power of God, when they prayed together, Paul's sight was restored. And then a little while later, Paul was in a meeting with some ordinary people in a church. They were praying together. These ordinary people, but they were in the context of praying. And as they prayed, they heard the Spirit of God say, "By the way, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas too, because I'm going to do something extraordinary with those two guys." And when Paul had started little churches in cities throughout the Roman world, it's no surprise that Paul wrote letters to those churches saying, "I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for God to empower ordinary me and ordinary you for extraordinary life with God." In one of his letters, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I've not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you what you don't have, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might do what you cannot do without him. But with him you might grow in your knowledge of God." Paul knows that if you and I are going to have any spiritual wisdom, any insight, any knowledge of God, it ain't going to be because I'm smart enough or you're smart enough. But Paul knows what happens when ordinary people pray. It's crazy what God wants to do with you and me. Most of us don't believe it. Most of us, if God sent you a notice or an email or a text and said, "This is what I want to do with you, you'd think it was the wrong number. You'd never believe what God wants to do with ordinary people like you and me. Paul knew that he wouldn't be who he was had someone not prayed for him, had he himself not prayed, and had he not prayed with others. If not for prayer, Paul would never have lived the life that he lived. And so Paul continues to pray for the Ephesians, and he says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he'll empower you, with inner strength through his Spirit. And then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love. This is what happens when we pray, and he will keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life. That's what we're after. We want life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us. Do you believe that? Within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might even think to ask. Glory to him. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and forever. Amen. What treasures, what opportunities, what possibilities lay waiting for you and me in prayer. What revelation, what understanding, what wisdom is already yours. It's already there, like radio waves in this room. You just got to put the batteries in. What might God want to restore, reconcile, redeem that you are convinced is a hopeless cause? There is a way to discover what's already available to you. It's all there. Put the batteries in and see what happens. That's what happens when we pray. That's why prayer matters in how we live. Jacob, would you come and join me? In 1907, a young Italian woman named Angelica invited two of her friends to meet her at her home for prayer. It was a little home on Mozart Street in Los Angeles. And there they began to pray for one another, these three women. They prayed for each other. They prayed for their husbands. They prayed for their neighbors. They prayed for others to experience the life-saving power of Jesus. It became a regular thing for them. It became something that they looked forward to. Any chance they had, they would meet at Angelica's home and they would pray together in her living room. And pretty soon, they started calling this little prayer meeting a mission. This is more than just the three of us praying. God's got a mission for us to live. He's got a purpose for us. And we're never going to know that purpose unless we pray. We're never going to see that purpose happen unless we pray. And so they continued to pray. Angelica's husband, Nicholas, he got involved and he built in their backyard a little building, a little prayer mission building as a larger space, because other family and other neighbors and other co-workers were starting to find out there's power in prayer. There's something going on at Angelica's house, and they were showing up to pray together. And pretty soon, they weren't just praying, but they were holding Bible studies. And they started to sing together, and they started inviting people to preach in this little prayer room in the backyard. And this little mission, this little group born of prayer, began to call themselves the Italian Christian Assembly. Being there together, being right here together, right now. We are the fruit of the prayers that have been prayed by generation after generation in this local church. What we're doing right now, where you are sitting right now, this is all of it, a result of prayer. It is in prayer that God empowers us for life with Him. What might be the fruit out of this group, out of this generation? What might be the result of prayer in our generation? What power, what fruit, what results might God have planned that will begin with you praying and me praying? It is in prayer that God will empower you for life that's not possible apart from Him. We're not just after some rote prayers. We're not just after a better kind of prayer. We are after life. We're about life with Jesus, and we want to make known to the city and world around us there is a way of life with Him. And we got to pray for it. We got to pray for that life to spring up like a well in each one of us. And I got to pray that that's going to happen in you. And you got to pray that's going to happen in me. And together, we got to pray. We got to pray and see the power of God move in our city, in our neighborhood, around us. Can you say amen to that? Let's pray right now. Lord, we do. We turn our attention to you. Thank you for your presence. Lord, thank you for teaching us to pray. Lord, I thank you that ordinary me and each person in this room today, you want to hear us. Whatever it is that we have to say to you in our hearts, you want to give us prayers to pray. Lord, you want to do some things among us and through our prayers that glorify your name. And so, God, I pray, as we leave from this place, as we spend time in our homes this evening and in the week ahead and in the weeks to come, as we study through this series, deepen our hearts, deepen our prayers, deepen our excitement and expectation to see what prayers, little prayers, short prayers, small prayers, ordinary prayers, but a buildup of prayer, what you will accomplish with us. Thank you for life. Thank you for life with you. We trust you to lead us in Jesus' name. And together we say, amen. Well, it's a communion weekend. We have this chance to remember the deal that Jesus made with the world that we get to receive, that we get to enter into. And it's represented by this table. This is not CA's table. This is not my table. This is the Lord's table. It represents what He has offered to us and what He has accomplished. For as Scripture tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He was at a dinner with those closest to Him. He lifted the bread and He broke it. And He said, as often as you break and eat, this bread. Do it remembering me. Do it remembering what I have done for you. And you can take the communion cup wherever it is and just tear open the side of it that's got the little cracker. And as you take that cracker and eat it, just remember that Jesus said, for a broken world, for a broken you, I'm going to let this world break me so that I might restore you, forgive you, and give you new life. And after the bread, he took the cup. He said, this is a cup of a new covenant in my blood. And as often as you drink it, do so, remembering that he has given his life so that we might have life. He shed his blood so that our sins are canceled and we are free, free to run and live in the life that God offers us. And so as we worship together, if you haven't already done so, you can take and eat the cracker. You can take and drink from the other side of this cup. And God bless you as we do. Jacob, would you lead us?